Good morning, everyone. That is the issue this morning, the big story locally. But there is a little bit of, we just saw nationally, as a matter of fact, I say we, Steve Zinsmeister, producer of the show, handed me a story just as the show was starting, saying that the Biden administration is going to recommend mask wearing for vaccinated people in areas, in places where there is a low number of vaccinated people. So we're going to talk about that a little bit later on this morning. Matter of fact, we're going to do it at just about, 10 minutes from now, a little bit less than 10 minutes from now. So we're going to get into that kind of a new development and what's going on with COVID and why I think this might be a big issue and not a good one, but a big issue. But I want to start off with the audit. Ken Bennett joined me yesterday, who is the Senate liaison to this audit. And Mr. Bennett has, like I've said before, I've always had a lot of respect for him. I have respect for a lot of people that are involved in this audit. I definitely feel torn about how I feel about this, but the things that are going on, because it is pitting friends against each other. It is pitting people that respect each other, at least I thought they respected each other, against each other. And, you know, I have respect for Senator Fan. I have respect for Randy Pullen. I have respect for Ken Bennett. And I've been very clear. There are people down there volunteering as we speak. There are people down there that were volunteering during the audit itself that I consider friends. And they know exactly where I stand. I know where they stand. And it's not fun. It's not a fun place to be, but you've got to speak up for what you believe in. And now I'm starting to hear a few other people out there that have been staunch supporters of this, part of the name-calling crowd, part of the people, you know, criticizing people that go on CNN and talk about things. Well, all of a sudden today, they may be questioning the validity of this audit. Maybe we can't believe this audit. Oh, so here they come now. Now they're going to come down and say maybe something about the audit. Well, I will tell you, my doubts about the audit have been with reservation, but they've also been with hope that I was wrong, meaning maybe that this audit would come out, would tell a story that all of us could believe and we could all move on one way or the other. But we're seeing what's going on in this. So now there's more subpoenas coming from the Senate. They want, and we're going to talk with, again, we're going to talk with Bill Gates from the County Board of Supervisors. So Supervisor Gates will join us just after 9 o'clock. And I'm going to talk with him about what they want. And are they going to give them any of these things? You know, I'm going to quote a source from the County Board of Supervisors, not necessarily a supervisor, but somebody there that said to me, we gave them the ballots, and then they counted them by hand. What do they need the machines for? Now, I'm not saying that they haven't given them everything they asked for or whatever, but they said, what's in the machines? What is it they're looking for? If there was fraud, you'd be able to see what the machine tally said versus what your hand count said. And if it doesn't add up, there's your fraud. What more evidence do you need than having the physical ballots themselves? And so now they're recounting the ballots to make sure that the number of ballots that they counted are the number of ballots that they have, or the number of ballots they have are what the county sent over. And so they're talking about duplicate ballots as well. And, you know, duplicate ballots, if something is damaged or whatever else, they want to make sure if one person had a damaged ballot and they got a different ballot that didn't get counted twice. All of those things are the checks and balances they're doing right now. But now they're going back after the county for more. And my biggest fear about this audit has been that in the end, after all the promises and all the hype, not from Karen Fan, by the way, not from Senator Fan. Senator Fan has consistently, when she's come on this show at least, I don't know what she said anywhere else, but I know what she has said here, which was, A, this has never been about Donald Trump. B, this is never going to change the results of this election. And C, this is just an honest look at what happened in our elections. That's not the way the supporters feel about it. That's not the way the people that are waving flags outside of the, the Coliseum and the convention center or the state fairgrounds. It's not the way the people in that documentary are crafting this. All of those people believe that this is going to change the results and Donald Trump is going to be the president again. But All of these people in the audit, everyone connected to the audit I've talked with, has said this is not about Donald Trump or that election. It's about our election system and election integrity, which I thought at the beginning was terrific. But then you hire a company who has already said before the audit that they believe that it was stolen. As a matter of fact, I found out, you know, in that documentary, the head of the Cyber Ninjas is prominently used in that documentary. He did that interview long before I thought he did the interview at the same time they let the documentary crew into the audit to film. I thought that was done at the same time. It wasn't. It was done months before. Now, this was according to a source. And so if that's the case, then they knew that this guy was in the tank for the audit, for the election being stolen, which is not the auditor you want to hire. It's, you don't want a predisposed opinion when you're doing something scientific like this. Again, there's no way the head of the ninjas could ever be on a jury with the kind of bias he has. They would throw him out. He would be excluded as a juror because of his, he was not impartial, because of his partiality. So, you know, that alone is enough. The fact that you lent a documentary crew on the floor, it's become a circus. Now, I say this, and it doesn't matter how many times I've said over and over again that I was in favor of doing an audit to satisfy the suspicions of both sides of the aisle. I was in favor of it. I've said that 20, 30 times. No one wants to hear that because they want to defend what's going on, except now we're getting to the end. And the cyber ninjas have nothing, nothing but innuendo, nothing but innuendo. Now, wait till the report comes out. And I agree, and I've said this to people, and I mean it very sincerely. This report comes out, and it's everything we want to see, and I have to make an apology. I've apologized before. I've been wrong many times in my life, and I've got no problem saying I was wrong. But you look at what's happening, and every prediction is coming true. They're going to scapegoat the county. They may scapegoat Ken Bennett. You know, I don't know how, I don't know what, if he's wrong. I don't know any of it. We don't know any of the details. We don't know if he's wrong. We don't know what happened. All we know is that he's been locked out of the building. You know, and here's a couple of things. I want you to hear what Bennett said on the show yesterday. This is just about one of those, I said, all that misinformation. Here's a little bit of it.
When 74,000 ballots get thrown out and there's an explanation for it, and it's not really phantom ballots or, yes, that is frustrating.
Right.
And it's frustrating to hear the president even refer to that number again on Saturday or whenever he was here.
You know, auditors were telling people not to share information with him. Now, that there could be a lot of reasons for that. But I will tell you that when all of my biggest fear was at the end of all of this, we've been arguing, we've been fighting, there's been division, there is all of this focus and energy on this audit. When we have this huge election coming up in less than 2 years, and we're focusing dollars, and we're focusing fundraising, and we're focusing efforts on all of this, and we're not paying attention. While the opposition, and I say opposition because, again, whether you think it sounds like it right now or not, I am a diehard, proud Republican voter here in the state of Arizona. So when I say the opposition, yes, I mean the Democratic Party, because I don't like the policies of the Democratic Party. I have no ill will towards anyone as a person. But as far as policy goes, that's not the policy direction I think the state should go. They are laser focused on 2022, laser focused on 6 statewide races and just a few key seats in the state legislature. And we could completely flip 2 Democratic senators in Washington, D.C., a House and Senate controlled by the Democrats, and a Democrat governor. All of it's possible. And so I was worried about all of that focus being removed and put in the wrong place. And then at the end of all of this, getting no answers, nothing but innuendo. And so far, that's all we've gotten. If you've noticed, nothing's been released, nothing preliminary, nothing even to hint to, nothing. It reminds me of Adam Schiff, the Intelligence Committee, going after Trump. He kept telling everybody he had evidence Trump was going to go to jail, that President Trump committed illegal acts, and they had proof of it that never came out and never saw the light of day. And so more innuendo, more doubt. You're going to have the county board of supervisors, Republican-led, against the state Senate, as for now, Republican-led, and this rift within the Republican Party. And we're going to accomplish nothing but innuendo. That has been my biggest fear, and that feels like the direction it's going right now. We're going to find out just after 9 o'clock. We'll talk to Bill Gates, who is on the County Board of Supervisors, about whether or not they are going to comply with any or all or none of the requests in this new subpoena. So that's coming up. In a moment, though, we've got to talk about the vaccines, and we've got to talk about masks, because a new mandate or a new recommendation from the White House is coming. So all that's happening in just a moment.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
Hey, happy Tuesday from the Mike Broomhead Show. Appreciate you spending some time here with us. We appreciate you being here, and hope we can get you through. Be with us till after 9 o'clock. We can talk to Bill Gates, who is the County Board of Supervisors, about the subpoenas that have come out. New story just come out this morning. The Biden administration is issuing new guidance today on indoor masking in areas with high transmission rates after reviewing new data suggesting fully vaccinated individuals are not just contracting COVID-19, but could be carrying higher levels of the virus than previously understood and potentially able to infect others, according to new sources. So there was an argument within experts within the administration on whether or not they should just inform people, or if they should actually put mandates back in place or put suggestions back in place. They're going with the latter. Here is where I think a problem is with this. We're going to get to some local stuff on this as well. Number one, you are trying to convince the unvaccinated to get vaccinated. You are already climbing uphill with this because, number one, the people that are refusing, or so far, I shouldn't say refusing, but have waited or are apprehensive, are the 20 to 44-year-old age group. You can keep saying that it's people that are Trump supporters, and you can blame this politically, but the numbers don't weigh out that way. Go look at the vaccination numbers. Well, what about the places where Biden won? And go look at the age groups of people, and it's just the same. People don't care about politics. You know, the general public doesn't care that much about political parties. Some do. Some are as passionate about it as they are anything else. But most people are not that politically inclined. But you're not getting that age group. A, they're busy. They've got kids. They've got, you know, families. They've got careers. They've got lives. And so what they're going to do is they're waiting. They're just not going to go out of their way to get a vaccine because, A, their hospitalization rates are as like 1% or 2% chance of getting going to the hospital if you get the virus. And the chance of death is less. It's like 0.1%, I think, in that age group. So you're already climbing uphill and trying to get them, fighting an uphill battle and trying to get them vaccinated. And now what you're saying is indoors in areas with lower vaccination rates, we now are going to say we're going to recommend that vaccinated people remask. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. I have been fully vaccinated. I went and went out of my way to do it because it was the right thing to do. They tell me that it is amazingly effective. If you look, and I'm going to read this, the new guidance comes after an internal debate. And it says administration officials have been struggling recent days with how to respond to the rising numbers of COVID-19. But what's funny is they also contend the fully vaccinated individuals represent a very small percentage of transmission, which is primarily occurring in the U.S. right now by unvaccinated people. That's the message. Now you're going to muddle the message by saying, but we want vaccinated people to get masked up too. Why get the vaccine? And I guarantee you that's what the unvaccinated are going to see. The holdouts are going to see it exactly the same way. The AIA for high school sports, that is the organization, the Arizona Interscholastic Association. They oversee sports, high school sports in the state of Arizona, has a 14-page guidance that covers a lot of ground. Here's a bullet point. A student's vaccination status and proof of vaccination should be included in their pre-participation physical paperwork. Now, I underline the word should in that, and they know the difference. There is a difference between shall and must or should and must. And, you know, shall and may are different. Should and shall are different. So it must be in there or it should be in there. Well, it should be in there. You can't force anyone. I've been saying this for a very long time here in the state of Arizona. You are supposed to be vaccinated, and they will ask for your child's vaccination records. But if you are a parent that says, I don't have vaccination records or I don't vaccinate my child, they are going to push back and tell you that your child has to be vaccinated. But in the end, they have a form right there. That is a waiver form that says you're taking liability if your child gets sick with one of these illnesses because your child's not vaccinated and they let your child into school. I'm not an anti-vaxxer. Again, I've gotten vaccinated myself. But my problem is this forcing people. Both sides digging in, nothing getting fixed. There is a great message out there with brand new numbers, and the brand new numbers all the time are saying that the unvaccinated among us are spreading this the fastest, that unvaccinated people have such small numbers of reinfection and they don't go to the hospital and they don't die. That's why you should get vaccinated. And the more the numbers climb, the faster rate of vaccination we're seeing. And instead of sticking with that message, what they're now doing is saying even vaccinated people should put a mask on again. So, of course, the people on that side of the political aisle are going to wear that as a badge of honor and say, absolutely, that's what every American should do. If you're patriotic, you'll do it. Well, we'll see. The battle lines are being drawn again, and I don't think that it's a good thing. In a moment, Gatos joins me. It's the Big Q poll question of the day. And after that, we're going to talk with Bill Gates from the County Board of Supervisors. Stick around.
The Gatos Big Q poll question, brought to you by your Valley Toyota dealers.
Hey, good morning, Gatos.
Why aren't you in the Olympics for weightlifting? I just thought about that. Because You could actually bring Arizona a possible bronze.
Only if I identify as a woman.
Ah! Gosh.
Have you seen those weightlifters and the kind of weight they're pushing around?
Yeah, there's a lot of weight there.
There's a lot of weight there.
Yeah. I remember there was, like 10 years ago, a guy picked up, the heaviest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And on the way up, both of his arms snapped.
Yeah. I can't.
It was brutal.
I've had too many broken bones, so none of those. There used to be a show on MTV that my kids watched called Scarred.
Uh-huh.
And it was like skateboarding and BMX wrecks and stuff. And I mean, people breaking bones, and I couldn't watch it. I can't watch that. And ever since I broke my ankle bone off twice. Ever since that's happened to me, I just can't deal with it.
Oh, gosh.
Yep.
All right. You're not going to the Olympics.
No, I'm not. I mean, I go someday.
Yeah.
I'm not competing.
See, Simone Biles dropped out.
Yeah. Yeah, that's sad.
It is sad because it sounds like it's mental health.
Did you see the girl from Alaska who won the swimming event? I think it was the breaststroke event, and they had all of her family and friends were in a gym somewhere watching, and they stole the show with the celebration. She won gold. She wasn't supposed to, but she beat a world record holder to win gold, and the place went crazy. I haven't been a big fan of the Olympics, but that moment was cool to watch.
I'm sure that was definitely cool. I haven't watched much of this stuff at all.
Me either. I haven't.
I really haven't.
I haven't.
Because that's what I write in the Big Q. The Tokyo Olympics are a ratings flop.
Yep.
Down 40% from the Rio Games in 2016. So I ask everybody, are you watching the Olympics? Yes, a lot. B, yes, but just a little. C, not a single second. And D, nope. I'd rather watch the Diamondbacks. Just kidding.
Do you think there's anything to the... people saying that part of it's because of the protests?
No.
I don't think so either.
I think Americans don't want to watch it because it reminds them of COVID. and people in masks and stadiums that are empty. And if you win a medal, you can't even have someone put the medal over you. You've got 30 seconds, maybe, to take your mask off for a picture. I just don't think we want to watch that anymore.
I agree.
We want to watch, you know, we wanted to watch when the Suns were in the playoffs and 16,000 fans were screaming at everything that happened. And now you know, you're watching these Olympic Games and the athletes are the best in the world. But it looks like a practice because there's nobody there to cheer. And that's right. I don't think we want to watch that. It reminds us too much of 2020.
It looks too sterile with those empty arenas, those empty gyms. Yeah. It really does. It's too sterile. And, you know, again, how often, once every 4 years, we watch swimming when it happens. And that's part of the excitement is watching those pools and watching the crowd around as they near that, you know, near the end of the swim. And and so that's what makes it exciting. That's what makes the Olympics exciting. Empty buildings. You're right. It's very sterile.
Well, think about the Valley-Oop with no one in the stands. Think about what that would have looked like and would have sounded like. And we would have probably gone nuts in our house. But, I mean, my goodness, the crowd, you know, that was part of the greatness of that play. The crowd being stunned and overjoyed and... You know, you don't have that in these Olympics. And I just feel bad for Simone Biles because it looks like it's mental health. And, you know, I think we're going to talk about this today. You know, a lot of people are going to say, well, you got to walk it off. You got to, hey, you know what? It's the Olympics are tough. You got to toughen up and all that stuff. And I think the people that say that probably never went through a mental health crisis.
Yeah, and I think the pressure that's on some of these very, very young people, I don't think people understand that kind of pressure can be if you aren't able in a safer environment where you can control things. You, again, pile COVID on top of everything else at the Olympic Village, and it's bound to happen to some people. And it's sad that it happened to the U.S. team. They were expected to win gold. They won silver. But, you know, I hope she's okay. I hope mentally and hope physically she's okay.
You know, she was in a room like 20 hours a day or something, they said.
Yeah.
Because you had to go practice, you had to go compete, but then immediately you had to go to your room.
Yeah.
She was in a room for like 20 hours a day, man, all by herself.
Yeah, and young people. So that, again, these are not, we're not talking about seasoned adults like you and I.
No.
These are young people. So, well, Gatos, I love the question. It's very timely, and I look forward to talking to you tomorrow.
I can't believe you called me a seasoned adult. I'm so happy now.
You're a salty adult. How's that?
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Gatos. The BQ poll question of the day brought to you by your Valley Toyota dealers. Bill Gates is on the County Board of Supervisors. We will talk to Supervisor Gates about the subpoenas next.